Hello, my name's Richard Sparks. I'm the author of New Rock, New Realm, a fantasy adventure story published by the science fiction and fantasy house Kazik, SFNF.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Richard Sparks, author of New Rock, New Realm.
Is New Rock, New Realm a kind of a new adventure with the same old friends, or is there some new characters? Okay.
That's exactly it. It basically continues more or less just shortly after the first book finishes. I mean, everything's been put together, and now we're off to the races for any sequels that happen. So when New Rock, New Rules comes out in November 2025, that continues after they get back from New Rock, New Realm. With some successes behind them and some achievements and one major problem hanging over them, which needs to be addressed at the beginning of book three. Leads to there are two really, really great villains in book three. One of them is the most entitled, you know, couldn't be more powerful, arrogant, charming crown prince of a massive empire, which would just swallow that little land up in a single gulp if it felt like it. They are really up against it. And that's book three, so we needn't talk about that. But they're all just, they're adventures, and they're meant to be fun.
I'm trying to work on a narrative storyline that crosses those three books. So the first book, you get to know about Dax, and you get to meet his friends, and they are in the online video game championship. The second book, what I'm hearing is that they end up inside the game, right?
No, they're not in the game. But just because they won the game, that confuses people. But once you get to see the book, it's worth. No, I mean they were chosen because they happened to have won the game, and so they are, as it will be explained at the end, they were seen as the right people to do this particular job, which is very unexpected. Most people don't see it coming. I got a very nice review the other day from some website said I really did not see this coming and couldn't wait to read the second book. So I sent that.
So it's exactly what it says. It's a new realm. So they go somewhere new.
Yeah, and they go somewhere new, do something else.
And is it now is there an escalation path? Like, you know, a lot of times in fantasy books, there's the you know, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. They start out with a personal story in a small scope of area, and then it grows into a bigger battle and a bigger war.
Inevitable. I don't see how you can do it any other way. It's inevitable that you will that the horizons will expand. I mean, if you play video like games online, you'll finish one map and then you go through into the next map and the world grows around you. So you learn more and more and more about it. That's just so natural, and it works in narrative as well as in games. So I've used a lot of the experiences of gaming that I have and put it through now, but now we're working in the field of, you know, of storytelling.
Tell us about the plot complication in New Rock, New Realm, you know, without being too spoily.
First of all, they're all off in different places to start the book. You know, our heroes actually, he's off exploring with his reward, which I needn't tell you about. And meanwhile, Carista, the sword dancing Asian American girl, she's trudging through the rain with the head of the royal army and a bunch of orcs who are singing their heads off, and the bedraggled guard. They're trying to sort out a problem, because at the end of the first book there are a lot of bits of the realm that need smacking, their heads smacked together. So she's doing that. Grell meanwhile is stuck in a cage in a jungle wondering what the hell's going on or where he is. And that just leaves, and then the fourth person who joined the group in book four, Ola, is a thief, and he's a native of that world. So he doesn't know anything about where they came. He just thinks they're foreigners and a bit odd, but they all become great. They met when he was a recruit into the army, like Dax and Grell were at the beginning. So he's part of the team. And other characters have grown during the story. So, for example, there are two woodskin, I call them. They're sort of basically like, I suppose there would be elves in another world, but in my world, the elves are evil little shits who would eat you alive the moment they saw you. you've got to keep ringing the changes. But anyway, they're forest people who basically were making a living as slavers when they captured Dax at the beginning of book one. And now our lovely queen has outlawed slaving, so they're broke and wondering what to do with themselves. And they become a good part of the team in book three. And again in book four, in different places. But you've got to keep people apart. You can't have them going around in a clump, you know, especially as you start gathering people like Ola. You know, he picks up a dog, little guy, on the road, or just a mutt, who becomes a very important part of the team. And without him, book three would have never have been completed. So he has a useful role to play. But you can't just have them all together all the time. They've got to be in different places worrying about each other and figuring out how to find each other again. And
so Dax, Krista, Ola, they pick up, I think, during this book as well.
Ola, is it? Yeah. O-L-L-E-R. And Grell, yeah.
And Grell. So they are separated and they're trying to solve, like, where am I at and why am I here on their own? And then eventually they try to work, they somehow kind of collect themselves up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that what happens is that a ghost ship arrives in the harbour at Mayport, the capital city, with its sails all tattered and a shadow over it. And Krista goes on board because she's the captain of the Royal Guard by then, and finds there's a note on it addressed to her. Hmm. Bizarre. And it talks about four. The four will come across the sea. She's going, well, that could be us. Anyway, so they set sail in this thing after a bit of discussion and get shipwrecked and blown ashore on a stormy beach, and it gets worse. Then they realize that they've actually been set up and sent for by basically the bad guy who then has them being hunted by the good guy. You know, it's actually quite complicated. So they have to figure out how to get out of that land where everyone wants to get hold of them and kill them, if they can find them, and get home. And it doesn't seem very, very possible from where they start. But they don't give up. They're resourceful, and they go their separate ways and do their separate tasks.
Okay.
And have their separate bizarre adventures. Some are bizarre. They're all, you know, challenges and puzzles. And
it gives the reader a chance to get to know the characters on their own, I suppose. And maybe they didn't get to know them that deeply in the first book because they were always together. Or were they also separate in the first book?
I think there's, you know, the books are relatively long. Not huge, but they're... There's plenty of time to get to know the characters, and they are developing nicely as we go along. So, yeah, but it's come together quite nicely so far, I'm happy to say.
We're going to reach the end. The story somehow wraps up, and we end up in book three.
Yes, we do.
What do you want to tell us about that?
Well, it's coming out in November. We're probably going to launch it at the... I can't remember what it's called. It's in Brighton in England at the end of October, so probably on Halloween night, which would be pretty good. And it's, how can I put it? Well, our hero has this major medical problem that he's got to deal with. Otherwise, he's not going to be around much longer.
And that'll be Dax. Is that right?
That's Dax. Okay. That means him heading off into the wilderness with our two, the woodskin, I thought, Nyrick and Horm, the people who were originally the captors who enslaved him at the beginning. But they realize that actually, you know, we're on the same side in this. So he has to go off and try and figure out how to function, really, how to stay going. And then a quest emerges at the same time. As there's also this great setup where at the end of book one, there's a duel between their trainer, Sergeant Bastard. Well, that's his nickname. You don't call him that. But he's the master of every weapon. Uh-huh. And he and Krista face off in a duel, you know, in a tournament, in an unofficial tournament. dual wielding to see who's the best at that. And that's an interesting one. And in book three, there's same go around, but this time it's him against Grell, the orc who he trained. And that's something, and that has the entire realm can't wait for this one. This is going to be good. And in the middle of that, something else happens that brings in the second of our bad guys, who is incredibly powerful, arrogant, entitled, royal, rich, and it's going to obliterate the realm if he doesn't get what he wants.
Well, so, you know, he's got
quite a lot to deal with in book three. And funnily enough, book four goes the other way. It goes back to really personal. That gets just could only be between like one person. And that's because you can't keep doing the same thing every story.
Yeah. I think you mentioned there's going to be two new bad guys in.
There are in book three, yes. New rules. Book three. New rock, new rules, yes. Two new bad guys. And of course, our heroes need to separate. So some go in one direction with Dax, the narrator, and some by the first book is first person. It's all told by him. The second book, there are bits which are told by the other people. So it's the third person. So I'm mixing those two together, and that I continue to do that in the later books because you can't have everyone going around in a group all the time. It just simply doesn't work. You're missing many, many opportunities. So in book three, one's got to go and figure out what's happening way down in the south in the Empire, and the others have got to go way up to basically the North Pole, to the Tower of the Moon, to see where the moon sleeps.
Oh, because, cool.
Yeah. I'm just getting the artwork for book three from the designer, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's going to have an eerie tower on the front of it, in this, surrounded by volcanoes up in the wintry north.
Oh.
She's brilliant.
So the... who's the she here? Is this
Christina Myhrvold. She's the designer who's just done the first two book covers, which I think are great. I mean, because you don't get everybody. There's a friend of mine who's a designer in England. Said, "Oh, I don't like this cover at all." And then she showed me one that she really liked. I said, "Oh, I don't like that cover." Not the one that she designed. I mean, she's an old friend that we used to share a house. She's married to one of my best friends and known each other forever. So it wasn't any kind of... because she loves the book. Just say, "I've got to talk to you about these covers." And I go, "Well, they're great, aren't they?" And say, "Well..." So, you can't please everyone. I said, "But I publish her. What do I do?" And he said, "Look, happens with every cover. You can't please everyone. Yeah. Some people are going to love them and others not. I think they're great. There's so much going on in them. You think, wow, there's a scene there."
If you enjoy listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts, but find it difficult to remember to check the website for new shows, get this technology from the future! Install into your phone a podcast player. Using this, you can subscribe to our podcast feed. And next thing you know, you'll be cruising around in your car with your phone plugged in, playing Sci-Fi Thoughts, or you'll be out there jogging, or you'll be doing whatever you want to do.
Put the podcast player down.
And have your ears plugged into some cool science fiction programming. You can find instructions on LancerKind.com. Guess what? We have more, folks. More value for you in the show notes. The show notes show up right in your podcast player if that's what you are using to listen to this podcast. However, if you downloaded this as an MP3 from a web page, go back to the web page where you downloaded it, and there you will see the show notes. The series started at episode 327. You can find that episode by going to scifithoughts.space and type into the search box there with the episode number that you missed, and it will help you right out. Next episode, more Richard Sparks.
It's about the culture you're weaving into this. So anytime I read a fantasy book that's from the South, I'm going to assume some things, just because it's like I live on Earth and that's kind of how it works on Earth, is that there's going to be a desert in the South.
Well, the thing is, I didn't want to be stuck just writing about one particular group. But so I started with my own world of England, Northern Europe, but I wanted to expand and bring in more of the human experience to that. So that it gradually becomes the more cultures are involved, more people's different looks and different attitudes, and that unrolled naturally. It couldn't all happen in the first book, but I was very well aware that I wanted not just to be stuck in, you know, in Northern Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, would you mind talking about what culture is the prince from?
He's from a land or an empire called Sarmen, S-A-R-M-E-N, which is so big that they don't even know where the edges of it are, really, by the sound of it. And, he's got this army of monsters, monstrous people, which are sort of inbred. And they are... they're known by their nickname, but you never say it in front of if you see one, as chalkers, because they live underground. They're bone white, and they're inbred for strength and ugliness and power, and they are just unstoppable. And there's, I don't know how many, 90,000 of the things.
Wow.
Plus an air fleet.
So, oh my goodness.
I'll leave you to think about that.